The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Hello and welcome on this really snowy and slushy and sort of cold Friday. This is Lynn Alencione of the Orange County Chamber, and welcome to Orange Chamber Business Wise. And today our guest is another Goshenite, so I'm thrilled to pieces, a business located in Goshen, Gus Scacco, who is the CEO and Chief Investment Officer of Hudson Valley Investment Advisors. Welcome, Gus.
Lynn, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm very excited because I know I'm going to be learning an awful lot today because this is so far outside my wheelhouse that I'm really looking forward to learning a lot.
Well, hopefully I can help you out.
More pressure. So let's just get right into it. If you could just talk a little bit about what HVIA is, because I'm going to use the acronym instead of Hudson Valley Investment Advisors. We'll just call it HVIA. And so let's talk a little bit about that, and then we can talk about all the things that's going on. I know you have a lot of exciting news that's happening, but I want to kind of build up to that because the industry that you're in is full of arcana, shall I say.
Yes, that's very true. We've been around for 20 years. The founder was Tom Guarino. Mm-hmm. We're actually a firm that's owned by the holding company of Orange County Bancorp. And we're located in Goshen, as you had said. But if I were to walk down the streets of Goshen, I would say a large majority of people wouldn't even know we exist because we've been investing for individuals by appointment only. It's generally been high net worth individuals or foundations, mm-hmm. endowments, what we'll call institutional money or sub-advisory money, where someone actually will hand us monies that they would end up getting as a business and have us invest for them, mm-hmm. on their behalf. And you know, we have a team of 13 people. And mm-hmm. the other thing to realize is that you look at companies in the area like Balchem Corp. Mm-hmm. They were one of the best stocks in the United States over the last 10 years, and here they are in Middletown, New York. Well, we're considered one of the 250 largest RIAs by assets.
What's an RIA?
A registered investment advisor. And thank you for actually pointing that out, because there's a difference between an RIA and a broker. An RIA has a fiduciary responsibility to make sure we're doing what's in your best interest.
Here we go with the arcana.
Yes.
And the proprietary terms. So what does fiduciary interest mean? Fiduciary interest mean? Not everybody might understand that.
A fiduciary basically has to act in your behalf, in your best in mm-hmm. your best interest. So a broker, which there are phenomenal numbers of brokers out there that do great jobs, but they have what's called a best fit as opposed to a fiduciary standard. So they can have a product that might meet your needs, but might not be the best one for you, as opposed to we're supposed to give you the best product that's available. And we invest on your behalf by mm-hmm. What makes us a little bit different than most of the other competitors that we have in the area is that we actually will do the research and go through the entire process of investing in terms of individual companies, whether it's stocks or bonds. So that also separates us.
Okay, so now we'll come back to talk a little bit more about that, but just to segue, because I have to give a shout out to one of our gold partners,
sure.
which is Orange Bank and Trust. So now you're owned by Orange Bank and Trust, so you're a piece of that, or what does that look like?
Just so people understand. The holding company is Orange Bancorp, mm-hmm. and they owned both Orange Bank and Trust as well as ourselves.
Okay. All right, so I just want to make sure that everybody understands what the relationship looks like. And Orange Bank and Trust is one of our gold partners for very, very long, which means you're kind of part of that too.
Yes, of course.
So we're thrilled about that. But so let's just now, if we could just take a couple of minutes, and you threw a lot of terms at there about is investments, and can we start parsing through some of those terms?
Sure, of course. In terms of when you look at the majority of individuals that are out there have heard of mutual funds, they've heard of index funds. What people are trying to do is basically invest or make an investment mm-hmm. and get a diversity of investments underneath that one umbrella of product. So an index fund, which has become a very big term over the last 10 years, actually it's gone back longer than that. But what it does is it gives you broad breadth, but it basically only lets you do as well as the market itself. So you could, put money into index funds and it will mimic what goes on in one of the indexes. So the S&P 500 is mm-hmm. a widely followed index, and they will buy every stock in that index. Some are very good, some are bad. So you know that you're going to be doing you know, as leased as well as the market itself.
So does that, so just to break it down even further, NASDAQ would be an index or not?
They would have their own index. There's several. There's actually several thousand that you could look at. Excuse me. There's several hundred indexes, but there are, some of them are proprietary to certain investment groups, and then others are just following certain groups or we'll call them institutions such as the S&P.
Okay.
So Standard & Poor's has their own. Moody's would have some, you know, so on and so forth. Okay. Barclays.
Okay, so those are index funds. They follow the market. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think we're, are we still over 20,000?
Yes, we are.
We are. See, and I know we were over 21, and then it dropped a little bit, right?
We actually got as high as, I want to say, 21 and change, so like 21,100.
You know, that I this is just a quick left turn, and we'll come back. But
sure.
I remember 2008, 2009, I think we were like under 10 for a while.
Yes.
So this is like incredible, but now we're going to come back to where it was. So that's an index fund. So now what's a mutual fund?
Well, a mutual fund basically is an amalgamation of all different companies that you can put into underneath one umbrella. So if I were to invest money for you, and historically how Hudson Valley HVIA would have invested is you would have been brought to us by appointment only, and it would have been $500,000 or greater. Mm-hmm. And we need that amount of money because we can give you diversification. So I might be able to invest today to give you enough diversification. You need at least 40 to 45 stocks. We have right now 52 that we would invest in our own mutual fund, which we'll get back to later. Mm-hmm. But using that, it gives you enough diversity that if one stock or two stocks were to not do as well, the other stocks hopefully pull the weight of the overall thing. So you get diversification, but it's think of it as a pizza, and I have all the ingredients, and you're taking a slice out as opposed to buying the whole pie. So you get the diversification, but you're only getting, you're buying a portion of that as opposed to we're going to make an entire portfolio built specifically for Lynn.
Well, and I get that because there's, especially, I guess, depending on where you are in your life, you may want higher risk or not so higher risk, because you want it to be diversified because
if,
just say, for instance, I have an entire fund or an entire portfolio in green widgets, and the green widget market crashes. You're smirking. Why are you smirking? You don't like my green widget analogy?
That's fine.
But then if the green widget, you know, industry tanks, I'm out of. But if I have red widgets and periwinkle widgets in there, I should be okay.
Those colors would work. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. So now. Keep going with that. So then there's index funds, there's
mutual funds, there's ETFs,
right? Which is a what?
Basically, they're funds that follow a specific sector. So you could have, if you're someone that likes consumer, you would have basically an ETF that only looks at the consumer sector. One that might be looking at only industrials, because you have not to get into the weeds. But by looking at the overall economy, you can basically see, well, we're in an environment right now where things that have a lot of capital invested in them. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at industrial groups, they generally have a lot of expense. And once you get a point above a certain revenue level, a lot of the money becomes pure profit. So if I'm looking at railroad companies as an example, you end up having a certain minimum that they need to make in terms of revenues to cover all of their costs. But every additional dollar, instead of being, say, 4 cents on every additional dollar, they might make anywhere from 40 to 60. And the more revenue that comes in, they actually get more what's called leverage. So it might actually get to the point where every dollar that they make falls to the bottom line. When you go through what's called a cycle, an economic cycle, in the beginning, generally people and the markets will point this out. You end up, it's a discounting mechanism. So they're not looking at what's happening today. They're forecasting what's happening 6 months out. Okay. And when I'm looking at, say, the industrials, they've done very well based on the anticipation of the economy actually getting a lot stronger than it is today.
Okay.
And the economy is actually in pretty solid footing. That's the other thing. Most people are still looking back to 2008 and waiting for the next shoe to drop. But we've had a number of very good years. It's been low growth. Mm-hmm. We're used to 3 to 4% gross domestic product or GDP, but it's been somewhere in that neighborhood of about 1 to 2. And
it's been slow, right?
It's been slow and steady, but it doesn't feel robust. And I think that's one of the things that's starting to change. You're getting people getting more excited because they're anticipating more things happening. Today, you ended up having 225,000 new jobs.
I saw that.
Being added. And generally, at this point of the cycle, you're actually running out of people to employ. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about in this local sure. area, but on a nationwide basis. So
I know that one of the, just to your point, one of the issues that we see is, as far as workforce, is trying to find enough people with skilled manufacturing backgrounds. Right. So, you know, anybody out there, if you're looking for a job, you start getting trained with manufacturing because there's a need. There's a tremendous need with that. So we're going to come back with Gus Scacco of Hudson Valley Investment Advisors. We will be right back from this break.
Hey, it's John Tesh. When you go to Leo Kadis Ford, you can always count on their staff to listen to your wants and needs and deliver you an automobile, SUV, or truck at the most competitive price. Leo Kadis Ford delivers it all. You'll walk in a customer, but you'll definitely leave a member of the Leo Kadis Ford family. With almost 40 years in one location and three generations buying and selling at Leo Kadis Ford, that's how you define success. Your one stop for new and used cars and A1 service. Get the Works Package for only $39.95, which includes up to 5 quarts of oil, and they will change your oil, rotate your tires, top off all fluids, and a free car wash. Hello! They will have you in the driver's seat with financing in place and will service your automobile, all at one showroom in Warwick, New York. Leo Kadis Ford, 145 Route 94. What are you waiting for? Call Leo Kadis Ford at 845-986-1131 or visit their website at leokadisford.com. Quality you can trust.
Where can you find great skiing and snowboarding, an awesome tubing hill, and the area's best snowmaking and grooming? Mount Peter in Warwick, New York, offering something for the entire family. With free beginner lessons on weekends and holidays, a progressive learning area, and terrain for everyone. Mount Peter has it all. Get outside this winter and play.
Mount Peter!
Check out mtpeter.com and get ready for some fun.
We love Mount Peter!
Warwick Press is your full-service digital print shop. When it has to look its best, trust Warwick Press with your business cards, newsletters, letterheads, event calendars, and more. They can gloss UV coat your project, do spiral and saddle stitch binding, and lamination, too. Let Warwick Press do your posters and banners, trade show graphics and displays. Warwick Press, 33 South Street. All major credit cards accepted. Call 986-9846. That's 986-9846.
Start your engine!
It's the Cobalt 400.
Matt Kenseth to the inside of Joey Logano. Down along the front stretch. They are still side by side.
Logano trying to come up the racetrack right in front of Denny Hamlin. They nearly made contact.
Johnson's car comes up the racetrack. Now they'll get side by side.
We're getting pelted with sand and even some raindrops now, but these guys continue to go at it.
The Cobalt 400, Sunday, March 12th at 2:30.
Brought to you every week by Vogler Moore Insurance and Dawson Motors.
WTBQ.
Hello and welcome back. This is Lynn Allen, CEO of the Orange County Chamber, and our guest today is Gus Scacco, who is the CEO and Chief Investment Officer for Hudson Valley Investment Advisors, also known as HVIA. And we are having, I'm learning so much already, and even during the break, I was on a strict learning curve here, a very strong learning curve, thanks to Gus. But I just want to pick up, because I want everybody to understand the terminology. So
right.
So we spoke about index funds. Mutual funds
mm-hmm.
kind of are dismissing the hedge funds, I guess, right? Because we don't need to discuss them.
Well, I mean, for the majority of, I think, the listeners, a hedge fund basically, just to give uh-huh. you kind of like a definition of it, mm-hmm. it basically you're looking to hedge your risk. So mm-hmm. if I were to buy stocks, we invest, and most people invest, basically owning the companies as if they were owning a business, mm-hmm. right? Except they have a paper form mm-hmm. and you own a share of it. Whereas a hedge fund, what you're trying to do is maximize the profitability. They're alternative funds for mm-hmm. the most part. There's a number of different types of hedge funds, but I would say the plain vanilla one would try to accentuate the upside or downside. Mm-hmm. And they benefit by either taking a long position. So I'm buying IBM and hoping that it goes higher, or I'm shorting IBM and hoping it goes down and buy it back cheaper. So it's not something that I think the majority of our listeners would have in their portfolio, but you know, just to give you kind of a landscape,
right, yes. For definition purposes. Okay, so now are there any other terms that basic that we need to know, just basic, before we like really talk more about this?
No, I think that, you know, you have a pretty good base right now.
Okay, so now those are the general terminology. Those are the general terms. So now, how does that all fit with HVIA? I mean, how does all of that fit in with you?
We've been around 20 years, as mm-hmm. I said before, and what we would do is you'd come to us, and in our history, it generally was you come with a set amount of money, mm-hmm. generally above $500,000, and we would sit down with you, and we want to understand your profile. What are your goals? What are you trying to mm-hmm. achieve? And instead of putting outside products into your portfolio, we would invest directly for you. And what I mean by that is we would say, well, I'm someone that, you know, I'm looking to retire. Mm-hmm. I still have a mortgage and a whole host mm-hmm. of other things. And we kind of get a perspective in terms of where your risk level is. And mm-hmm. with that, we would determine, and based off of mm-hmm. how you feel about this and what we can see, we would base our decision in conjunction mm-hmm. that, you know, we should have a certain percentage of equities mm-hmm. because they
equity
or basically that's regular stock, mm-hmm. okay, or fixed income, which would be bonds. We would put a certain percentage in equities and a certain percentage in bonds. And the bonds...
And why bonds? Let's talk about why.
Okay. Bonds generate a certain level of income. Mm-hmm. So if you're someone that's older, generally you're looking for an income stream mm-hmm. that's consistent, where a stock fluctuates. Mm-hmm. Some of them might actually have dividends that they pay and others don't pay any dividends. So you're hoping for the appreciation in the stock. And that combination should help you in terms of downtime. The bonds, mm-hmm. for the most part, act as kind of a buffer for bad things because people want safety and when things get risky. So the bonds act as a buffer on the way down. Mm-hmm. And then on the way up, you participate in the market by owning the stocks. So you're going to outpace inflation, hopefully, mm-hmm. and, you know, give yourself downside protection and income.
So I would, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think that if you are younger, you would be able to absorb more risk.
That's right.
And if you're older, you're looking for something that's much more stable.
That's correct. That sounds like it should be done that way, but people have different, you know, viewpoints mm-hmm. in terms of
generally.
Yes, without a doubt. You would say when you're younger, you want to take more risk mm-hmm. in general, and, you know, you can withstand ups and downs. So as an example, if, you know, the biggest thing that we see is, and one of the things that people benefit from, and it's not really talked about, is when you end up having a period like last year, you ended up having a crisis in China in terms of just mm-hmm. perception. You ended up having what's called the Brexit, which went on, and then you had the election. Mm-hmm. And all of those caused a lot of risk and turmoil within the markets. But if you were to be with us in January, the markets were down 11.5%, 12%. If you got out, and then you locked in a loss. If you stayed in, which we had our clients do, you ended up not only recouping that mm-hmm. loss, but you ended up seeing a benefit by year end of, you know, mid-single digit, you know, returns in general for the markets. So it's not just, you know, what the markets do, but having someone that can guide you and say, this is a period of time where it might be a little bit rocky, mm-hmm. but however we see that, you know, things are improving and that you want to stay within the markets.
I would think... You know, and I know that a lot of people do this on their own. I would not be one of those people. But the external pressures, because you had used a word, the perception of turmoil in China. Mm-hmm. So I would think, you know, not being in that industry, but the perception of turmoil in China or Taiwan or Laos or, you know, the Congo or wherever somehow becomes reactionary.
That's correct.
As far as people making investments, mm-hmm. whether it's real or it's not, because perception is reality, I would think,
that's right.
No matter what you're doing. But how are you able to formulate, say, okay, well, you know, because this, what you had just mentioned, these are some significant social upheavals and changes, you know, mm-hmm. Brexit, you know, when if you've been watching with the BBC or anything, especially with Europe, after the vote, Great Britain said, oh my goodness, what did we do? So there was this, there's a lot of turmoil there that's going on. People may react to that. And as human beings, we tend to react. We tend not to respond.
How are you able
to practice restraint, I guess, is what I'm asking you in the sense of all of this global upheaval.
There's three things I'll talk to. First of all, technology has leveled the playing field in mm-hmm. terms of information. And that's one thing you have to keep in mind. The second thing is we're institutional in nature. So what I mean by that is we don't get information secondhand. So we're members at the Economics mm-hmm. Club in New York, which allows us access in just that one segment. At mm-hmm. least allows us access to individuals who I would be, call our leading thinkers, people at head companies, top strategists. So last year we got to see Janet Yellen live. We ended up being able to speak with a number of major company CEOs, Eric Schmidt from Google. We also have access on an institutional basis with firms that allow us to go to conferences, and a conference will have a swath of very diverse companies for an industry group. So it could be industrials. We're going to one coming up for oil and gas, and you get to see, feel, and touch CEOs as opposed to reading something written by an analyst that then goes to a local broker who then can determine stuff. So getting back to your point, we actually got to see and talk to David Cote, who is the CEO of Honeywell. And other than GE, they touch and feel probably more companies, whether it's turbochargers for cars, heating and ventilation systems. They're one of the largest chemical manufacturers. And these are companies, these industries that they're involved in are either building blocks or real-time you know, access in terms of how the economy is. So we can actually see, feel, and hear what's going on through them. So his comments were, we have a six-month kind of basically warning to see when, you know, the economy's turning is. We don't see any downturn. We actually see things improving. So that gave us strength in one hand. And the other thing is just contacting various people, economists and others that are on Wall Street, and also seeing various indexes. So you kind of, after a certain amount of time and doing this over the years, it's almost as if you're getting this mosaic of information, and then you take it and then you invest with it.
But you're also, what I'm hearing as you're speaking, Gus, is that your information sources are almost at ground zero. You're not going through various different filters of, you know, like, so I, as a layperson, you know, I'm getting it from, say, the BBC or CNN or whatever else, who's then getting it from someplace else, someplace else, someplace else. And every time you add another layer of filter, it's going through their perceptions, their own little prejudices and everything else. It sounds as if you are able to go directly to the source.
Lynn, that's why I was mentioning technology at first, because when I started in the business, I've been doing this for over 20 years. And Morgan Stanley, the competitive advantage when I was there were the people, because you had an army. Today, I basically am able to go in and say for one of the oil companies that we own, we actually streamed online their analyst meeting. So instead of traveling to Texas, I'm staying in Goshen, New York, and watching this. You can be located anywhere. Warren Buffett has broken the you know, need to be in New York City a long time ago, but the information flow is so much more smooth. So access to information is a lot easier. The barriers to entry to get that information have come down tremendously. And all I'm doing is the same thing I was doing in New York City for X amount of years, we can do here. And we have individuals at our firm that went through Goldman Sachs' training program, people from Lord Abbott, Smith Barney, M&T. So, you know, that combination of individuals with experience level, plus being able to get access to that information, allows us to come to, you know, a set conclusion in terms of investment sectors and the overall market.
But it sounds like not just the access, but the speed of the access.
Correct.
That, you know, because before the internet, you had to wait to get the, you know, where did it get to? It had to get to a certain source. It had to get to, you know, AP or whatever else, and then it was filtered out. So now it's almost everything's instantaneous, which, you know, downside is everybody expects an instantaneous email. But the upside is that you're able to really make decisions based on real time occurrences and events.
Yes, but I just want to point out we're long term investors. So even though you have that information, you just want to make sure that your thesis, that what you're investing and why you're investing is staying the same, as opposed to saying, well, we're reacting to the news. Because as an example, last year, keeping people involved in the market, because we didn't see any downturn from any of the companies we saw, but the markets were reacting to this, you know, speculation. And we ended up keeping our clients involved in the markets. And you benefited from that. And as the year progressed, you saw that, you know, there was improvement, but it was slight and slow. So there was nothing that was alarming. And, you know, we're trying to build money over time. Things don't fit neatly into quarters or years. So, you know, we're taking an approach when we invest in something that we're looking at least 2 years out.
But to be able to keep, you know, this is the second time you've mentioned it, you're able to speak to your clients and keep them, especially during a time where there's so much going on. You know, we had a very contentious presidential election that extended for a very long period of time. So that was, there was a lot of that in the news every single day. There was the Brexit. There was what was going on in China. There was stuff going on in the Middle East. So to be able to speak to your clients through all of that, the cacophony of a political turmoil and upheaval, and for them to find stability and to say, you know, in spite of what I'm seeing, I'm just going to trust you that you've got a better handle of this than I do. Really speaks to the relationship that you've built with your clients.
Yes, and that only happens over time with trust and going through cycles, because unless what I'm telling you sounds great, but unless you're there and you understand the person and what they're going through personally, or the institution we deal with, because we end up investing for endowments locally as well as, you know, pension plans, whole host of other things, unions, pension plans, and when you're speaking to them, you're trying to give them what the rules of the road are, for lack of a better term. And this is what we're seeing. This is why you should stay involved. And this is what's going on. Our biggest benefit to people is to basically keep them invested. But there are instances where you might want to pull back. We don't see that based on the current economic environment. But it's an environment where, you know, there's, once we had what we had said in the beginning, you're seeing, you know, continued employment growth, things that normally are at not the end of a cycle or the beginning of a recession, but toward the middle. And, you know, we're still very positive on the markets.
Wonderful. Well, this is Lynn Cione from the Orange Chamber, and you are here on Orange Chamber Business Wise, and we will be right back from this break.
Drunken Mushroom Spaghetti. From the kitchen table in New York City, I'm Rachel Ray, and this is Rach on the radio. This dinner will take you for a twirl.
I'm dropping my spaghetti in a giant pot of water. Season the water itself so that it tastes like seawater. We have our combination of mushrooms. I used hen of the woods, shiitakes, and beefy creminis. Now that they have browned, I can add in two large shallots and lots of garlic. After the mushrooms, we can salt now. We're going to finish the dish with the bright pop of a little lemon juice, lemon zest, and let's get those mushrooms drunk. Half a bottle of white wine.
For this recipe and more food tips, go to rachelrayshow.com. Monday, Croque Madame Chicken Paillard. From the kitchen table in New York City, I'm Rachel Ray.
Allergy congestion. Cut grass. Cat on the sofa. Dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
There is no better way to make a more comfortable home for the new year than a visit to the semi-annual white sale going on now at thecompanystore.com. From our famous LaCrosse down comforters and pillows to the finest quality sheets, towels, bedding basics, and home decor, you'll find everything you need to stay warm in winter and then start spring with style. Receive 20% off your entire order and get free shipping when you enter the code RADIO17 at checkout. Thecompanystore.com. We're all about comfort.
Hi, this is Alan Fernandez. Join me at the Jazz Getaway with Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and Duke Ellington and more every Sunday at 7 p.m. on WTBQ.
WTBQ weather.
Cloudy skies with snow continuing into the morning hours. It should taper off around noontime. We get up to around 30 or so, looking at up to maybe 5 inches in spots. Then tonight, partly cloudy and very cold. It'll be windy too, near 11 with -5 wind chills. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high only in the mid-20s, so we're running about 10 degrees below normal. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, all the way down to 10. Sunday, look for partly sunny skies. Highs struggle into the mid and upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo from the WTBQ Weather Center.
WTBQ.
Hello, this is, welcome back. This is Lynn Allen, CEO of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce here on WTBQ. And our guest today is Gus Scacco, who is the CEO and Chief Investment Officer for Hudson Valley Investment Advisors, Inc., associated with Orange Bank and Trust.
That's right.
Correct? Did I get that all right?
Well, we're associated with the holding company. We're both sister companies.
That's right. That's right. I have to get that straight. So before we went to break, we were talking about just stability in perceived volatility and everything else. So now that we have all of that background information,
yes.
Now I'd like to talk about what's going on with HVIA, because a lot of very exciting things have been happening.
Yes. Actually, I've been at the firm a couple of years, and we've upgraded technology, which allows us to do a whole host of things. And the other thing that we decided to do was, as I had said in the beginning, there used to be that $500,000 threshold. Mm-hmm. And what we've done is, because of technology, we've added a mutual fund and what we call model portfolios. So we can actually accept lower amounts, starting at somewhere in the neighborhood of about $25,000. Mm-hmm. To invest for people. So we'll call it good, better, best. So you get our thoughts and our investment, expressions, so to speak, in terms of the mutual fund, which was started now. We started it in the third quarter. The fourth quarter of 2006, and we're in our second quarter now. And the results.
2016?
Yes, excuse me. Thanks, I'm 10 years behind. We've started the fund up, and we have that, as well as these model portfolios, which normally you would need a minimum number of dollars once again. Mm-hmm. So it's, say, around $250,000 to about $400,000, $450,000. Mm-hmm. We can fit you into a model portfolio, and it would meet the criteria for about 80% of the investors that are out there, give or take, say 10% either way, in terms of risk and return.
Okay, so now you have your own... This is your own mutual fund?
Yes, that's right. We are probably the only ones that I know of in the Hudson Valley that have one.
And why is that such a big deal?
It's a couple of things. We, over the years, have been turning away people because we couldn't meet the needs based off of the products that we had. Mm-hmm. So this addresses a market that we didn't go after in the past.
With bringing in lower amounts to be invested?
That's correct. And then the other thing is, over the last 10 years, the Federal Reserve has kept interest rates artificially low.
Right, right.
And that also... for lack of a better term, made equities almost an asset class unto themselves so that they would move in conjunction. There's something, and I don't mean to get in too technical, there's something called correlation.
Don't worry, I'll interrupt you if I don't understand
it. Okay, so there's something called correlation. So the best way to describe it is, if I were to move to the left a foot, you would move to the left a foot. And that would mean it would be 100% correlation. If I moved a foot over and you moved three quarters, you moved...
three quarters of correlation.
Okay, so correlations got as high as 80%, which was unheard of. Those were all-time highs. They got actually as high as 83%.
Okay, so now just hold that thought. So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It made it an asset class that acted as one thing. There was no differentiation between a good equity or a bad equity, for the most part. I'm not saying in all, but for the most part, the overall market traded in unison in a certain direction. And that was what you saw over the last, call it, 8 years. Mm-hmm. What's happened now is correlations have gone from the mid 80s down to the 20s. So that means now if I'm moving in one direction, you might be moving in the other direction. Mm-hmm. So the economic well-being of each individual company has to stand on its own merit, as opposed to that it's an equity in general and that people were buying funds that basically would put money into the overall market, and all of these things would move in one direction or the other in unison, as opposed to in separate and distinct patterns.
Okay, so now I'm going to really show how I don't remember any of my economics classes from Cornell. So, but now if everything is moving in the past year or past couple of years, everything's been moving in unison, almost at an 80% correlation.
Yes.
And you had earlier said that the growth was a little slow.
That's
are those
right.
two somehow associated? Because if now companies have to stand on their own, if things that may not have been able to stand on their own were being pulled, being supported, does that have something to do with maybe the slower rate of growth?
Well, let's back up. The first thing is that the Federal Reserve basically kept
us. I noticed you were smiling when I was talking, so I was like, "Uh-oh, teacher's about to say no."
No, not at all. What I was going to point to is that the Federal Reserve kept us out of having a major recession.
Okay.
So, or depression potentially. So, what they did was keep, say, the economy on life support after we all got out of 08 and 09, and we've cleansed ourselves, so to speak. We're at a point in time where we're ready to kind of move out of the hospital and kind of stand on our own. And by keeping rates low, you basically were allowing a lot of companies to take on loans and debt, and it was very inexpensive for them to do that. Now you're getting into a period where there's going to be a distinction between riskier and less risky. So if you're going to put money into something, I have a choice of something we were talking before about industrials or these other groups. So there's something called consumer staples. So toilet paper we'll use as an example. There's a consistency of sales versus railroads where it goes, it ebbs and flows based on the economy. Well, guess what? The loans that end up going generally, or the debt that's being issued by the staples companies, are very low in terms of what the rate they have to pay because of the consistency. Whereas the railroads see a lot more fluctuation, so they usually have to pay a higher rate. When we were going through that period with the rates being artificially low, both of those companies or industry groups would get lower rates than they normally would. Now that we're coming out of this, rates are going to be market-based. So railroads might have to pay more than they did, and the companies that are staples companies still will pay a low rate, but it's probably going to rise.
Okay, I got it. Okay, so let's back away from the economics lesson.
Sure.
Thank you for that.
No problem.
So now what does this mean then for, say, for Orange County, the region, that now we have, that there's a mutual fund that can address a market that wasn't able to be addressed before?
Okay. Well, it allows us to basically, like I had said before, express our investment thoughts in the form of a mutual fund. And, you know, I can't really sell the fund on air, but you can go to the website and you can see more information for it. But what it does is it allows you, we talked about a pizza. So instead of buying a whole pizza, you're buying a slice.
A slice of it. Okay. I got it. So now, what are some things that people would need to know? Because, you know, as you said, we're emerging now. We're coming from one space to another. And there's still a lot of stuff going on. We have the America's Health Plan. I can't remember the whole name of
the
it.
ACA,
the new one. Well,
yes.
There's the new one that's coming out that's in front of the Congress right now. So we have that. We have all sorts of things going on. Perceived volatility, not perceived volatility, a lot of change going on. What are some things that people need to be cognizant of as far as managing their own money right now?
All right. First of all, what you see coming out of the government, our president says a lot of different things and tweets a lot of things. But what you should do is look at the people that are working for him, because they're the ones that generally set the agenda. He's delegating to them. So there's a thought process that this is where we're going, but he might say something and actually, the markets don't react. If you've noticed, he said a lot of outlandish things relative to what you've had from prior presidents. But yet the markets haven't really reacted to it. It's because of two things. They're looking to the people at head, you know, commerce or treasury or what have you. And you realize that they're going to be putting out something that's going to be, you know, maybe in the thought of what he was talking about. But there's going to be more thought behind it, whether it's trade, you know, with, you know, NAFTA, there's going to be a new agreement. That's been around for 30 years. So, excuse me, from the 90s. So you're looking at something 20 some odd years. You know, we didn't have the internet when that agreement was first struck. So you need to look and see what goes into that and what changes should be made. They're probably going to tweak it as opposed to, you know, just disband it.
I think they're going to end up tweaking almost everything.
That's correct.
You know, because, you know, it's everything always has to be tweaked. Nothing is ever perfect. Nothing's ever perfect. And things have to, because, you know, you've mentioned throughout the show so far, you know, how things have changed, you know, with technology. And technology changes. And, you know, our policies have to keep up with different information streams and different ways of doing things. So things always have to be tweaked, whether it's the healthcare plan or this or that or the next thing. You know,
Without a doubt, just think of right here in Orange County. I mean, if we were looking, if we went back 20 years ago, just in terms of the communication that you have at the chamber and the people and how to basically orchestrate how to meet people, it's a totally different way to get get together than you did years ago. And it's more formalized years ago, whereas today it's like, here's a network and here are people that you can maybe help you you know, expand your business or, you know, accentuate growth.
And that's an important thing. So, but do you think that people, to be cognizant of that, that there's change, but as far as people, what are some of the best tools that people can use to manage their money?
Well, I would read the paper in the business section every day. And what you would do is you look at the credit markets because that's the cost of money. So that gives you an idea of whether money's getting more expensive or less expensive. In the Wall Street Journal, they have something called Abreast of the Market, which will give you a recap of what happened the day before. And then they'll talk about a specific company, and it's usually something that's topical. So over the last couple of days, they've been talking about oil and what's been going on, because you had a big meeting that was down in Texas, mm-hmm. and it brought together private as well as publicly traded energy companies. And there's been a revolution in energy. And what I mean by that is that they end up having something called fracking, which you've heard of, mm-hmm. but horizontal drilling. So if I were to drill, I used to put a well straight down. Now I go down, but I can go out 1,500 feet to 2,000 feet. Mm-hmm. So it used to cost somewhere in the neighborhood of about $60 to break even, $70 in oil. Now, in a lot of places, it's under 20. And we have more oil now and exposure to it that we could probably be energy independent if we were to look out at the same mm-hmm. constant growth within probably 5 to 7 years.
That's incredible, because remember, yes. like 20 years ago, that was such a dream to be energy independent. Mm-hmm. So that's really good news. This is Lynn Allen, CEO of the Orange Chamber, and we will be right back from this break.
Orange County Tourism invites you, your family, and friends to enjoy all the amazing events, starting with Heroes, Muses, and Inspirations, which are works by members of the Goshen Art League that express the idea that you don't need superpowers to be a hero. This event will run through April 20th at the Emergency Services Building in Goshen. For more info, visit GoshenArtLeague.com. Hungering for a farmer's market with local produce? Then visit the Tuxedo train station on Saturdays. Go to TuxedoFarmersMarket.com for more information. On March 12th, join the St. Patrick's Day Parade with pipes and drums and Irish step dancers from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Goshen. Want more Irish music? Then enjoy an afternoon by visiting Newburgh Free Library on Sunday, March 12th. For more info, visit newburghlibrary.org. Ready to break out of winter and explore the many wineries, restaurants, shops, and quaint villages throughout Orange County? Then check out orangetourism.org to discover all the amazing events happening throughout the county every day.
Turn the pages back to another time at Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop. Enter and you'll feel the comforting environment of what bookstores once were. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop is a place to come browse, feel, smell, and simply enjoy a good book. In the presence of a wealth of knowledge and stories, you're warmly invited to open the books that will transport you to other worlds and times. At Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, you'll find everything from new releases to rare old books. Whether you're looking for fiction or nonfiction, it's all there at Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, 31 Main Street in the heart of the Village of Warwick. Call 544-7183. And remember, that great book you just read on your Kindle? You can't pass it along to family or a good friend. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, where pages really do turn.
That is the sound of a Florida bobcat. But sometimes the sound is not strong like this. It is tiny and weak because a Florida bobcat mother has been killed by a car or hunter and her young kittens are orphaned. Unfortunately, this is happening more and more often. When orphaned kittens are found, they come to Big Cat Rescue to be raised, taught to hunt, and returned to the wild as young adults. With orphans increasing, Big Cat Rescue needs to expand its rehab facility. You can help raise these little orphan bobcats by taking just a minute to vote in an online contest offered by the Valspar PGA Tournament held at the fabulous Innisbrook Resort. Big Cat Rescue can win as much as $50,000 to fund the larger rehab facility. Just go to bigcatrescue.org/contest. That's bigcatrescue.org/contest. The little kittens thank you.
You're just trying to be better. We're just trying to help. The John Tesh Radio Show.
Monday through Saturday, starting at 3 p.m.
Tesh.com.
After a long day, we're here to keep you company with great soft rock and interesting information you can use on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Hello and welcome back on our last segment. This is Lynn Allen Cione of the Orange County Chamber, and I'm sitting here with Gus Scacco of Hudson Valley Investment Advisors on this somewhat snowy day. It looks like it's stopped snowing, but I know that we've got another thing coming Tuesday, so I'm sure that Taylor and everybody here will keep you abreast of that. I wasn't too happy about hearing that, but anyway, getting back to what we're talking about, and I've learned a lot. I hope that everybody out there, you've been a wealth of information, kind of straightened out my my little mistakes on
the
economics.
Well, I'm glad, and I'm thanking you again for having me on board.
Oh no, I'm very glad because I live in Goshen, and when I was with the Goshen Chamber, Mike Rundle was on our board, and I think he's still
yes.
on the board of the Goshen Chamber. And so I know that HVIA, because you're in downtown, right there in beautiful downtown Goshen, is has been a mainstay. And even when you were on West Main Street, now you're on Grand Street, HVIA and Mike and Tom and everybody down there was a mainstay in Goshen and very involved in the community. So as a resident, I thank you, to you and your to the company.
Well, thank
for
you
the
for
investment.
The works that you do today with the Chamber.
Oh, well, thank you. And I do, I just want to, before we go to the Chamber stuff, I want to make sure, Gus, that you give your contact information out, because you've given out a lot of information. But
okay.
If somebody out there wants to get in touch with you, I want to make sure that they have the opportunity.
Well, they can do one of two things. They can go to the website, which is HVIAonline.
.com?
Yes. And or you can Google us, and you'll see our website. There'll be a video that kind of goes through our process. Mm-hmm. And also the access to the websites there that shows the fund. In addition to that, you can call us at the following number. You can call us at 845-294-6127.
Or you can go to the Orange Chamber website and go use our membership directory.
That's right.
Because if you want a business in Orange County, you should go to the Orange Chamber membership directory, because we have all of our members are there, and you can see everybody from whatever industry sector and then go directly to their website from the membership directory. Because what we have found, and I've said this on the air a couple of times, and I should have pulled your stats before I, so this way I could pull them out and go, look at this. But one of the things that we have found, and this gets back to your point about technology, is in the olden days, you never knew how many referrals the chamber made to somebody except through the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
So now somebody, we look at our stats from our membership directory, and we can pull them up, and we can see that the past year, somebody had like 1,000 times the impressions from their business.
Wow.
Because people are looking at it 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, things that we can't even track, in addition to the times that we've put it out. So, and how many times your website's been clicked on and mapped. So, we see from the chamber point of view how technology has really changed our ability to fulfill our mission. That we can do it when we're not even in the office. So, Gus, Hudson Valley Investment Advisors, mainstay in Goshen, and a lot of exciting things. You have your own mutual fund now.
That's right.
And I do know that you're also, you do a lot of work with the not-for-profits in the county. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. They're all great organizations, and they do so much for the community.
Yeah, but you help them to keep their money straight, and also for sustainability.
That's right.
Because you were speaking about investments and for the long term, and for not-for-profits like any business, say this as having a not-for-profit. We're a C6, we're not a C3, but it is very important for a not-for-profit to be able to have endowment funds for sustainability, to be able to protect themselves against, whether they don't have enough donations or they don't get the grants coming through, but for sustainability purposes. And I know that you help a lot of them manage that. So thank you, because the work that the not-for-profits do in Orange County really does help improve our quality of life. So,
yes, I have to tell you, just in terms of just touching base with a lot of them, we have some great portfolio managers that work alongside to make sure that they're in the right, so to speak. You don't realize the works that go on, and the average person that I think is in Orange County doesn't realize how much they benefit from a lot of these organizations.
No, they don't. We don't. We and that's one of the blessings that we're so grateful that we have WTBQ. To be able to get some of this out, and I'm on my phone because I'm trying to pull this up here. But one of the things that we do is a lot of the not-for-profits that are tucked away, and they work with the Community Foundation for their funds. So a number of places aren't able to do their own investments, and I think that you manage.
Yes, we do.
I didn't. I was moving away from the microphone because I didn't want to
since the beginning,
misspeak.
Actually.
Really?
Since it was founded, yes.
That's so. Well, thank you, because there are so many organizations and scholarships and groups that are part of the Community Foundation and run by a tremendous board and Biz Rally over there. And that really, really does such good works for Orange County. So again, thank you. And just, do you want to give your information again before I go to all the chamberific stuff?
Sure. Once again, it's Hudson Valley Investment Advisors. We can be reached at 845-294-6127, or you can go to hviaonline.com, and you can basically look at our website or Google us. And Lynn, thanks again. I really appreciate
it. You are very, very welcome. And speaking of technology, because I didn't have the paper, I'm able to, on my phone, pull up our event calendar. We do have a lot of events, and thank you, Gus, for being here. We really appreciate it. I do want to just, again, in the spirit of not-for-profits, remind everyone that this coming Sunday is the St. Patrick's Day Parade in beautiful downtown Village of Goshen, where HVIA is located. And Step Off is at 2 o'clock, but if you are marching, it is rain or shine, and you have to line up at 1 p.m. And then if you're visiting the beautiful Village of Goshen, my Village of Goshen, please stay, eat at one of our great restaurants. We have a lot of great restaurants that are in the village. As far as the chamber, we have some great stuff coming up. We have a ribbon cutting coming up on March 11th, and that is at OMG Browse, and that is at 12 p.m. And then at on the 15th, I'm very excited about this. This is over in New Hampton. This is a mixer, our St. Patrick's Day mixer, and I hope to see you there, Gus. This is at Brown Barn Farms, which is Orange County Distillery, and that's going to be a great time. That's at 286 Maple Avenue, New Hampton, New York, and that is March 15th at 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. You can reserve a spot for this. We do need to know if you're coming. You can call 457-9700, speak to Erin, who is the event diva over at the Chamber, and we had our breakfast yesterday. We had Dr. Chris Young, who's the president of SUNY Orange, speak. And it's also TBI month, traumatic brain injury month. So we had some speakers from Beautiful People and from Beacon Place. We had 160 people at the breakfast. And Erin put that all together with Scott Wall and Barbara Martinez. So big shout out to them. I have a great team, so I'm really thrilled. So if you want to come to our St. Patrick's Day mixer next Wednesday, please call 457-9700 or reserve at www.orangeny.com, and you can go right to our events and reserve right there. Another thing that we have coming up is we have a trademark seminar. We started Chamber University, and maybe we could have you come and talk about some things. Also, Gus, we have a trademark seminar that is going to be on Tuesday, March 21st from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Chamber Building. This is for business owners. And Gary Schuster from Jacobowitz and Gubitz will be the speaker, because if you're a business, you want to know about trademarks. You want to make sure that you have everything, your information trademarked, and you want to make sure you don't infringe. So this is a very, very important seminar especially for small business owners who may not have their own back office legal team to lean on. So again, you can reserve at www.orangeny.com or call 457-9700 for that. This trademark seminar is sponsored by Jacobowitz and Gubitz, and Gary Schuster will be our speaker. That's Tuesday, March 21st from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. I believe we may not be feeding you dinner, but I believe that there will at least be some snacks there. So another thing that's happening, that we just had our first information session, and I'm so psyched about this. I can't stand it. We have a trip, our next chamber trip. We are going to Paris. And Normandy, and that will be in September 10th, we're leaving. So we're starting our information sessions, and this is really for anybody who is not just into World War II, which I am, as anybody who's listened to this has heard me say ad nauseum, I collect French resistance militaria, but we're going to Paris, we're going to Giverny, which is where Monet was, we are going to Mont-Saint-Michel, and we will be spending a few days up in Normandy, going to the cemetery, going to all of the beaches, Omaha Beach, Sword Beach, Juno Beach. So I am very excited. I'll be happy to give you all the information. You can call me direct at 457-9700. I'm Lynn Cion, the president, and I will give you that information, and I will be on the trip. So very excited about that. And also, you want to reserve now, because I know we're going to run out of room. Brigadier General Labarge, Tim Labarge from the 501st will be back to speak with us. He was over at the airlift wing when he was the colonel over there. Now he's been promoted. He's the brigadier general, and he's coming back to speak to us at our breakfast on the 13th of April. So please reserve for that if you would like to hear him. He will be speaking about leadership, and I do have to tell you that he is one of the best speakers I've ever heard in my life. And I think we are running out of time, Rich. Yep, he's starting the music. So Gus, I want to thank you for being our guest today. I really appreciate
it. Lynn, thank you very much for having me.
You are welcome. And everybody stay safe today and next week. We will see you next Friday. This is Lynn Sion from the Orange Chamber. Thanks, WTBQ.